So we're into essentially the last talk through chapter 6, which is 6 procedures for pleasing God. And as we've considered, when we've been in the depths of addiction, that a lot of times what's either got us there or kept us there is working to try to please ourselves and doing things that we want to do but aren't good for us, or trying to please others and failing in that, and just getting overwhelmed and maybe grabbing hold of a substance or behavior to cope with that. And so instead it's the idea of we don't want to do what we did because we're still going to get the same end result. And so the option is to seek to please God. And when we do that, we find that it's, yes, He's pleased, but then we find our lives are blessed, we become a blessing to others. And so tonight we want to consider a final way in which we can please God, and that's by living our lives in the fear of the Lord. And so that comes from this verse, Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. And so we want to understand what this means, because of course, when we use the word fear, it's to be scared of somebody. And so we kind of think, well, does it mean, okay, I have to be scared of God. He's happy with me if I'm scared of Him. And we want to understand that word has a bigger meaning than that. And so in the sense of the fear of the Lord, as it's talked about throughout the Bible, it has a sense of having an awe, a respect, and a reverence of God. And it just, where it's really your view of Him, your attitude towards Him. And it's something that we want to think about, that because we do understand God wants to be our Father. He loves us greatly. God is a friend to us. But sometimes we can get a wrong idea of God, that almost He's like our sugar daddy, that He's going to enable us to do whatever we want, or that He's like Santa Claus, that we just basically go to Him with a list and He's going to give it to us. And if He doesn't give us everything that we want, then we have a right to pitch a fit. And it's, we really want to understand the relationship that we have, that He's God, we're not, He is our master, we are to be His servants, and He is our Father, and we have that in our, with our own earthly fathers, there is that kind of level of respect, and even a fear of our fathers when we're doing wrong. And so God wants us to have that right attitude towards Him. And it's a thought that as we come to know and understand God and have a relationship with Him, we should naturally come to having a healthy fear and respect of God, right? When we really see Him as He is, that should be our response. Because we think, first of all, due to His great power and might, that what He has been able to do through history, the miracles that He did, that we think of Psalm 33 talks about how he created the world by speaking it into existence, and just the power and ability to be able to do that. He spake and it was done, He commanded and stood fast. And for that reason, we should fear Him and stand in awe of Him. And we think of Jesus when they had the great storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were all thinking that they were going to drown. And He just stood up and He said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves just stopped. And there was this great calm. And He turns to them, "Why were you so fearful?" And the next verse we see, they feared exceedingly. And they weren't afraid of the storm anymore. They were afraid of this one that was stronger than the storm. He says, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" That they, there's like Yes, he was their friend, he was their master, their rabbi, but wow, there's something more about him that he's able to do this, right? And so they had that awe of him and respect of him. And so Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 14, it says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. And so that's the thing, things that God has done in the past, things God continues to do even now, that we see what he's done, that it can't be diminished from, it lasts, and we should fear him because of that. But as well, we think in terms of we should have a respect and awe and a fear of him due to the great wrath that he is able to pour out upon us if we disobey and defy him. And we think of that growing up when we did something wrong and there are consequences, right? That when we knew what those consequences were, that would a lot of times prevent us from doing that thing that was wrong, because we knew that we'd get it when we got home, right? Or like, and so there, having a healthy fear, like another thing is, like, for instance, with law enforcement, right? Is that I know one of the RCMP members here in the community that he's a very big, strong guy, and it's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of him, kind of thing. Because he's a great guy, probably the friendliest guy you'd ever meet. But man, if you're on the wrong side of the law, you'd be in the hurts if he had to arrest you, kind of thing. And so it's really having that sense that God, he is the one that is our judge, and if he has to pass sentence on us, it's not going to be a very good thing to experience. You see, this is in Psalm 2. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so it's a thought that we think of the Son of God, God is love, and everything else, but it's kind of the thing, if we get to this point where we cross a line, that it's going to be a very dangerous thing for us. And it talks about in Psalm 76 in verse 7, thou even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? That we we just kind of, we think of what happens and what God has done, it makes us pause and not want, when we think of what he has done in the past to those that have crossed the line. I might have this one story I remember, and this wasn't anybody in my immediate family, but it, what happened is this, they had this younger kid and his buddy were making fun of his older sister, calling her all kinds of names and just trying to get under her skin. And she kept telling him, just, you need to stop. And they just kept doing it. So finally she lost it on him, and actually they were outside and they had kind of a picnic table, and she actually picked up her brother and threw him across the picnic table. And so his friend that was joining in the kidding and teasing of big sister, he just kind of shrunk down and hid. And you can be sure that after that, that her little brother was going to be a little bit more reluctant to be teasing her, because he saw what she was capable of, right? And so it's the same thing, is that where we think, as we read of what God has done when he showed his wrath, whether it's like sending a flood to cover the earth, whether it's sending fire down from heaven, whether sometimes it was like having the earth open up and swallow somebody, it's just like, okay, yeah, this is not somebody to mess with. there's consequences. And it just sort of the thing too, like you think about it, like if you were walking through a pasture and you were to see a bull or say a buffalo that was asleep, and you wouldn't go up to that animal and deliberately go and poke it in the nose, right? Because you know that that's a very bad idea. That if you got that animal angry at you, like you may not live after the encounter, right? That it, you could, you might not survive it. And so it's, we realize that when there's that that force behind things, you know that it's not something I should be disrespectful to. And but it's something too with God is that we think of it this way, a reason why we should have a healthy fear and respect of him. And that's due to the great mercy and restraint that he shows towards us. And that's really kind of the incredible thing with God. Because you can think of it this way, and say if you've maybe experienced it either with your own child or with somebody you've interacted with on a job site where they're like pushing the limits, where you basically say, this is the line, do not cross it. And what do? They basically, right in front of you, they just sort of basically go as close as they can to the line and then just step over it just to defy you, right? What is your tendency going to be? It's like, okay, that's it. And you're going to lose it on that person and everything. And so you think of with us is that so often God lays out the line and we do that. We get as close as we can and then we jump right over it. And the fact that he doesn't just destroy us immediately shows his restraint, because we know in that situation we wouldn't have that restraint, but yet he does, and we can be very thankful for that. It's something we can respect him for, because he is able to control his wrath, that he is actually very merciful. It says in Psalm 130 verses 3 and 4, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And that's the thing. If God was, if he had a short temper and meted things out just totally what people deserve, none of us would be left. It talks about that in Lamentations. It's of the mercy of the Lord that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. And so we can, we have a respect for his power. We have a respect because we know the wrath that he can pour out. But we have respect for him because of the restraint that he's able to show, that the mercy that he shows us. But it's something with that, is that we make a terrible mistake if we think we can take advantage of God's mercy. And that sometimes we almost think, oh, well, nothing happened. That means, oh, God isn't real, or he didn't see it, or he doesn't care, or I got away with it. I got a pass. It's like, no, he's giving you the opportunity to turn around so you don't keep going down that path. And if you just kind of think, well, I'm just going to test the limits of God's mercy. I'm going to see how far I can go and get away with it without getting consequences upon me. That's a very dangerous place to be. But we realize that's a lot of times how we lived, and it has gotten us into a lot of trouble. And so we want to realize that that is a dangerous thing to do, and that's not, we're not going to be prospered with that. Because that's kind of the thing. You think about it in relationship you have with your parents, right? If you're always disrespecting your parents, right, is that going to prosper you in life? No. You're just going to always be getting in trouble. If you're at a job, if you're always disrespecting your boss, you always got this bad attitude, is that going to promote you? Is he going to say, oh yeah, I'm going to give you a pay raise because you treat me like dirt? Like, that's not going to happen, right? You're probably going to get fired or demoted. If you always have a bad attitude to the RCMP, what's going to happen to you? That eventually you're probably going to get in an altercation that you won't be on the winning end of. And so it's, we realize that we don't benefit ourselves when we don't show respect to those that are in authority all around us. Definitely we're not going to prosper if we don't have that right respect with God. And and that's the thing, is that he deserves our respect even more so than all these other people, because they have their faults, but God is faultless. God has never done anything to make us think that he is unworthy of our respect. Like, really, that, I think that's important. Because sometimes with a person, you think, well, they did this, and I have a hard time respecting them because of the way they act. But God has never done anything that would cause us to disrespect them properly. It's only really when we're thinking wrong and deceived by the devil that we think that it's a good idea to disrespect them. And so we see that the Bible identifies the fear of the Lord as being the beginning of wisdom. So that's the thing. It's, if you're going to learn to navigate life and make good decisions, it starts with fearing the Lord. And you think about it kind of with the 10 principles. It's kind of the idea, if God's against it, so am I, right? They're just like, okay, I got to agree with God. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to respect him. I'm going to follow what he has to say. That's where I'm going to start out right in life, is by fearing the Lord. But we see the Bible also declares it's by the fear of the Lord that we depart from evil. Right? And that's the thing, is that a lot of times when we realize what the consequences are, we realize what's going to happen if we continue down our path, then we say, wait a minute, I don't want those consequences, so I'm going to take a different path in life. And so it's by the fear of the Lord that we depart from evil. And so, if our lives are governed by the fear of the Lord, then we're going to find both the wisdom and the motivation to break free from our addictive and destructive behaviors. Because it's something where I don't want to do this, but I keep finding myself doing this. Just sometimes we get to a point, okay. And that's sometimes that's where we get to our final motivation to seek help for our addiction, right? Because we have the consequences of our bad decisions and what it starts to take away from our lives. And so we say, okay, I got to change so that I don't continue to lose these things. I want to get my life turned around because I see what's coming because of what I've done. And so it's learning that. And so the sooner we have that fear of the Lord, the sooner we're getting on the right track in life. And so, but as well, there's many different verses in Proverbs and other places where it talks about the fear of the Lord in a lot of different ways, and just the blessings that come to us because of that. So I want to share some of those with you. So many good things come to our lives as we learn to operate in the fear of the Lord. And so first off, we see that if we have the fear of the Lord, we will live a much longer life. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." And I think we can understand that, that when we make dumb decisions, where we that they sometimes can be fatal, or sometimes they can be very damaging, right? That our lives can be cut short. As I know Dr. Crabb was talking about a bit about just the physical consequences of addiction to our bodies. But as well, we find in Proverbs 14, verse 26, that as we operate in the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence. It says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Where we're not living in fear, we're not living in uncertainty, that we have an idea of what we're to do, and we have a place of safety. We're not living by anxiety. But in the next verse we see It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And so that's really, when you think of addiction, that it really would fit into that idea of being a snare of death, right? Something that catches hold of us and is going to destroy us if we don't break free of it, right? And so the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to us. It helps us to get away from all of that. Then we see in Proverbs 19 and verse 27. Oops, I don't think I have. I must not have the right reference there. It's verse 23 actually. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. And so that's the thing. So often we seek satisfaction in life. And so it's saying, if you live in the fear of the Lord, you will abide satisfied. That you'll enjoy satisfaction in life. And you're not going to be visited with evil. That you're going to miss out on a whole lot of trouble because you learn to listen to what God had to say. That if he's saying, don't do this, there's a reason. And so I'm going to fear him, I'm going to listen to him, respect what he has to say, and it's going to go well with me as a result. Then it also says in Proverbs 22 and verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And so we think, well, that's what we would want in life. We'd want to be prospered, we'd want to be brought to a place of honor in life and advance, right? And so you can almost put the opposite. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, what are we going to experience? Poverty, dishonor, and death, right? And so it's the thing is like having that right attitude towards God, that's where so much of it starts. And if we have our thinking right, we're going to be pleasing to God. Because that's, honestly, that makes sense that our parents or bosses aren't going to be pleased with us if we're disrespecting them. And so why would God be displeased with us if we're disrespecting him? So if we honor God, we fear him, he's pleased with us, and we're blessed as a result. And so this is from Psalm 25. It says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So we see that it speaks about God teaching us in his way, guidance, soul still at ease. We have peace, seed shall inherit the earth, that our family, generationally, we're blessed, and that God kind of shows his secrets to us and makes a covenant with us, a deal, and helps us in our lives. And so it's the thought that when we fail to give God the honor and place in our lives that he's deserving of, not only do we experience a great deal of self-inflicted suffering, we also miss out on a great many blessings that God wants to impart to us. And so we realize that. It's so often we think when we're pursuing after stuff, it's like, oh, I'd be missing out if I'm not grabbing hold of this. But the opposite's true, that we miss out a lot of good things because we're getting this, grabbing hold of this stuff that's really not worth having in the first place. And so the sooner we develop within us a healthy fear of the Lord, then the sooner we get on the track out of our addiction to his abundant life. And so, the thought, how do we show fear to the Lord? We think about it, okay, it's obeying him. When he says, don't do this, we say, okay, there must be a reason. Even if I want to, out of respect for him, I'm not going to do this. But two, it's just the thought of giving him first place and asking his opinion, that you respect what he wants us to do. We seek his guidance because we know that he knows better. And so it's as we learn to respect God, he talks about it. Those who honor me, I will honor. And so if we want to be lifted up, if we want to be blessed in life, then it comes as we put God in our minds with just the right attitude. That changes our thinking, and then that's going to change our actions. All right.